The ILI English Series, published by Iran Language Institute. Advanced 1.
Unit 1. 2.2. Reading the passage. Hurry sickness. According to statistics, it is becoming increasingly rare in many Western countries for families to eat together. It seems that people no longer have time to enjoy a meal, let alone buy and prepare the ingredients. Meanwhile, fast food outlets are proliferating. Further evidence of the effects of the increasing pace of life can be seen on all sides. Motorists drum their fingers impatiently at stoplights. Tempers flare in supermarket queues. Saddest of all is the success of an American series of books called 1 Minute Bedtime Stories. What, one has to ask, do parents do with the time thus saved? According to Barton Sparagon, MD, medical director of the Mayer Friedman Institute in San Francisco, and an expert on stress-related illness, the above are all symptoms of a modern epidemic called hurry sickness. The term was coined nearly 40 years ago by a prominent cardiologist who noticed that all of his heart disease patients had common behavioral characteristics, the most obvious being that they were in a chronic rush. Hurry sickness has been an issue in our culture ever since, but the problem is escalating in degree and intensity, leading to rudeness, short-tempered behavior, and even violence, alongside a range of physical ills. The primary culprit, according to Sparagon, is the increasing prevalence of technology, like email, cell phones, pagers, and laptop computers. We can bring work home, into our bedrooms, and on our vacations. Time has sped up for so many people, and there is increased pressure to do more in the same number of hours, says Sparagon. Jill Stein, a sociologist at the University of California at Los Angeles, agrees that time is being more compressed than ever. In the past, an overnight letter used to be a big deal. Now, if you can't send an email attachment, there is something wrong. Because the technology is available to us, there is an irresistible urge to use it. What about those annoying people who shout into their cell phones, oblivious to those around them? Stein says that self-centered behavior is related to larger social trends as well as technology. There is a breakdown of the nuclear family, of community, of belonging, and an increased alienation and sense that we are all disconnected from one another. This breakdown came before the technology, but the technology has exacerbated it. Now we connect through this technology, says Stein, and we don't have face-to-face interaction. Ironically, as people pull their cell phones out in the most unlikely venues, our personal lives are available on a public level as never before. People are having work meetings and conversations about their spouses and their therapy sessions with complete impunity. Ordinarily, we'd never be exposed to this information, says Stein. Sparagon claims that there is more a sense of entitlement now than ever. Why should anyone slow me down? But he warns that there is more than civility at stake. This chronic impatience is demanding not only to our social environment, but to our physical health. It builds and then it doesn't take much to explode. And for those who repress it, it's equally damaging. The high-tech revolution and the lifestyle it has spawned have brought with them a rash of serious health problems, including heart attacks, palpitations, depression, anxiety, immune disorders, digestive ills, insomnia, and migraines. Sparagon says that human beings are not designed for prolonged high-speed activity. When you look at our heart rates, brainwave patterns, our basic physiology has not evolved to keep pace with the technology. We are hardwired to be able to handle a fight-flight response where the stress ends within 5 to 10 minutes. In our current culture, though, we struggle for hours on end. Even children are not spared the ills of modern-day overload. There is a hidden epidemic of symptoms like hypertension, migraine, and digestive problems among children as young as 10. Disorders never before seen in children, says Sparagon. Whether these problems result from being swept into the maelstrom of their parents' lives or from full loads of extracurricular activities and unprecedented homework requirements, up to 5 hours a night for some, children are experiencing the same sense of overload, time pressure, and demands that their parents experience, says Sparagon, and they don't have coping mechanisms to deal with it. Recovery is possible, but Sparagon emphasizes that there is no quick fix. Many of these stress-related behaviors have become deeply ingrained to the point where people are hardly aware of them. The greatest paradox, he says, is that even when people are ready to change their behavior, they are in a hurry to do so. Sparagon works with people to become aware of their stress and the impact it's having on their lives. They examine their belief systems. What is really important? What can they let go of? And they learn to challenge their behaviors. One popular exercise is to assign a chronically impatient person to stand in the longest line in the grocery store. The only answer is to take it one day at a time. The irony is that all the techniques and technology designed to streamline our lives may ultimately be counterproductive. As Sparagon says, people are finding that all of this multitasking, rushing, and worrying is not only making life intolerable, but actually making them less efficient than they could otherwise be.